Tonight on All Souls Forum, the topic is the Bannister Federal Complex, otherwise known as Bendix. If you've lived in Kansas City for a long time, you'd be familiar with Bendix as a place known for good jobs with good pay, where many local workers were able to climb up into the middle class, but you may not be so familiar with the literal fallout experienced by the former workers at the plant who were unwittingly exposed to toxic chemicals and heavy metals. Many of the former workers have died or are currently suffering a multitude of health impacts from that exposure. Our speaker, Maurice Copeland, a former Bendix supervisor, will detail what was really going on at the plant over several decades, when health and safety concerns were ignored and denied. This show is recorded on October 1st at All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church here in Kansas City, Missouri. Tonight's show will be a shorter broadcast due to the fund drive. However, you can listen to the full-length podcast available within 10 days of broadcast on the KKFI website, kkfi.org. Tonight's show's format begins with our speaker's presentation, followed by a short break, and then the conclusion of the presentation. Thanks for tuning in. Now let's join the conversation here at 90.1 FM, KKFI.
Good morning. I think we're a little early to start, but that's fine. This is kind of an important topic for our church and our city. My name is George Baggett. I'm from the Forum Committee, and I'm here to present our presenter. The forum was created as a platform for controversial topics and issues of the day, and we continue that policy every year. We're trying to get better and better at it. This morning, we're pleased to have Maurice Copeland with us. Maurice worked 32 years at the Bannister facility and had the experience of having his managers say there was no nuclear components at that facility, which that was the standard line, and then come to find out a lot more was going on at the facility than that.
When I come in, a lot of people wanted to know, this is not the first time I've been here. This church and the people associated with this church have been very, very faithful and accommodating to us about the Bannister Federal Complex. You have gone out of your way throughout over 10 years to keep up and keep people informed about the Bannister Federal Complex. I appreciate that so much. I love you, okay? I'm Maurice Copeland. I worked at the Bannister Federal Complex, Bendix, Allied Signal, Honeywell, for 32 years. I started off as a general machinist trainee, straight out of Vietnam. I was discharged in 1967. I went to work at IRS on the same complex in 1968. I worked there for about 6 months, seasonal employee, and I got a referral from a guy that worked with me. He was an engineer at Honeywell at Bendix, and he said, come to Bendix, you got a job. I went to Bendix, I got the job in 1968 as a machinist trainee. Worked in machinist trainee, was a union member for 19 years, moved up to tool and die apprenticeship. I was a tool and die apprentice. I went from apprentice to tool and die supervisor. I went, and tool and die supervisors connects with the model shop supervisor also, many shops. Very good job. Very good living. I couldn't ask for anything more. I knew when I went to work there that it was a semi-government type situation. The companies we work for, Bendix, Allied Signal, Honeywell, they are just contractors. They don't own anything out there. This is the Atomic Energy Commission. This is DOE. So they're just They could have had McDonald's restaurants as a sign out there. We're just managers. That's all. No ownership. I just wanted to introduce myself to you, and I'm gonna let Mr. Baggett go. Do you want to go on with the interview?
No,
go ahead. Okay. I knew that this was a situation that we were connected with the government, and also that it was to build nuclear weapons parts. And that's what we were considered, a non-nuclear plant. This is the non-nuclear plant parts producer in the nuclear weapon system. We were the number one, we are the number one parts producer of non-nuclear components in the world. In the world, Kansas City. This was a very proud place out there. The people loved their job. We did it good. We had all of the resources we needed. We knew that. We had the best equipment, and we liked the place. And we followed orders. When you go in, the first thing that you learn in this environment, the least you know, the better off you are. Come to work, do your job, go home, keep your mouth shut. This is national security. And that is exactly what we did. And we enjoyed it. When you work for the government, you have the best. You have the best machinery. Maybe not the best environment, because this, to me, coming from Vietnam, growing up there, I was in legal age when I went to work. As far as being free out in society, I couldn't go buy a beer, because I was still under 21. So my life has gone pretty fast. I was in the Army. I wasn't even 17 and a half years old when I went in the Army. So when I got out, I was still under 21, and I'm working at that plant. And I'm learning that it's a good job and they can afford me and my coming family a good living if I handle myself properly, okay? And I did. Took a year or two for me to learn what a good situation I was in. Bendix, anyone that's from Kansas City that knows, if you worked at Bendix, you didn't have to worry about credit. You didn't have to worry about anything. They were mailing you credit cards. You go buy a car and you walk in, you say, Bendix. Oh, you never had to worry about anything. So everything is going good. People, that's why we're in the situation that we are today with the environmental issues that we worked under. We did not question anything. And your family knew nothing. Your family did not know what that smell was on you when you came in that house, when you went to bed at night, when you sweat that stuff out of your body. And wives were very nice. I've been involved in helping the claimants with their claims over the years, and I've heard some things, and I know the women love their husbands because a lot of things they didn't mention. Wanted to know what that smell was. A lot of times they sniffed them clothes when they came home, and that was not the thing to do. You don't sniff in this stuff. You don't wash them clothes in the same clothes that you wash your family's clothes in. In fact, it shouldn't even have been in the house. It's a lot of situations, safety situations, that were neglected, and it cost us. This was the nuclear weapons industry. We did not build Chevrolets. We were not building Nash Ramblers. This was different. And we knew it was different. When I first went to work there, and I'm jumping, because I want y'all to get a full aspect of what went on out there. When I first went to work there, things were happening. We weren't connecting anything. I wasn't connecting anything, but we knew things were happening. That plant went from 3,000 people to 9,000 people almost overnight in the 60s. We're in a Cold War buildup. We want to build more nuclear bombs than the Russians or anybody else. And we did it. And we did a good job. Kansas City ought to be very proud of that plant. We did exactly what we were supposed to do. We was number one. We produce. Very proud. They ought to take that place out there, and what they ought to do is make a memorial for the Cold War effort. We was number one for 70 years. We're number one today for building these nuclear weapons. We did that complex good. You had a place down in Florida called Pinellas. Pinellas was the same type of parts plant that we were. We gave them 15% of our work because we were overworked and kept them afloat until 1979, I think, and then they closed up because the place was contaminated, too contaminated. You're too contaminated. Too contaminated, doing 15% of the work. We did 85% out here. Let that sink in. This is a serious situation we have in Kansas City, Missouri, and they're about to tear that plant down. We've got claimants that have claimed that they had problems, health problems, because of that plant. The United States government has admitted in a presidential executive order that they worked us at that plant in very dangerous situations without our knowledge. They've admitted that in the Presidential Act. Anybody can read it. It's called the EEOICPA, Energy Employees Occupational Illness Act. And when you read it, like myself, I said Bill Clinton couldn't have done a better job at writing this. They admitted that for years we were exposed to elements that we did not know about, radioactive and chemical, that we did not know about, and that they're going to take care of the people. That's what they say they're going to do. They're going to take care of the people. I had my doubts. And my doubts have proven. Because I came out of a situation in Vietnam that they said they're going to take care of the people, and they certainly ain't done that. So why should I believe them now? Especially when we introduced the program, I was a supervisor. We went into the meetings before we released this information to the public, to the plant. And the first day that they were telling the supervisors how to convey the information to the employees, they lied. I mean, straight out. They said, we don't have any problems here at Honeywell. We're a non-nuclear plant. And one thing that they worry about is this thing called beryllium. We never really did handle very much beryllium, and we only handled 2% beryllium. Well, you just blew me out of the water. In 1974, I told them, I want you to go back and I want you to find a memo. And the memo says that we're going to change the formula of beryllium to 2%. Now, you're going to come and tell me to disseminate information to my employees that we only use 2% beryllium. Well, why did you change it in 1974 to 2% if you only ever use 2%? Something is wrong. Something is wrong. They came back at the second meeting, walked into the door while walking into the door, said, "We want to correct a few things," because we went on and had the meeting, and it was a lot of things that came up. "We want to correct a few things. We've used 100% beryllium in the plant. And you're going to go from 2% to 100%. This is the information that you got a lot wrong in these instructions. You got a lot that you're not telling people in these instructions." Okay? So did they take care of the people safely? No, they admitted that in act. Are we going to protect the people? Or are we going to protect the people and give them the correct information here in Kansas City? No. You just lied the first minute you come in here. And it was a lot of things that went on. So we got a problem. And I knew from that day on, I got a fight. And I knew that I couldn't stay there and do that. I couldn't do it. I couldn't stay there because the practice was still going on. And so every day that I'm in that plant, and certain things that supposed to protect the people, I could not affect because I would be going against the grain. So I had to leave, and I left, and we're here. I'm a nice guy. I don't like jumping on people, but I will. And information that's been given out in Kansas City to the citizens of us being a non-nuclear plant. That's why I'm here. We're non-nuclear. Really? What is considered a non-nuclear plant? Anything that the government says. If we wanted to, let's start over today. And a little animal runs across the street, and we, us old folks, that's a dog. Yes. But the government says we're going to change the name of that dog to a cat. And so they start telling the young people, that's a cat. That's a cat. Well, it's going to catch on, ain't it? We're a non-nuclear plant. What makes a non-nuclear plant? Does a nuclear plant mix up the hot stuff, the plutonium, the tritium? We're not Savannah River. No, we don't make the tritium. We're not Rocky Flats, the plutonium, and all the... No, we don't make that. The uranium. No, we don't make that out there. But you know what? We sure enough handled it out there. We sure enough cleaned up the spills out there. We sure enough exposed our employees to it. Some of you may remember a story. This is absolutely insane to me, y'all. It was a story that came out in Channel 41. Anybody remember Russ Potosik? Keep that in your head. It was a story that came out, Channel 41, Russ Potosik did. And we reported of a lady that had been exposed to an element called promethium. Promethium. Promethium is a radioactive material. Not only did it come out that she had been exposed to this stuff, had it in her clothes, had her change clothes, gave her a shower, all this good stuff, whatever they did a good job, gave her some new little shoes, did a good job. Cleaned out her car, the car that she was riding in. Whew. Y'all gonna hear some stuff here. And this is true. This is 100% true. Cleaned out her car. Okay. Send her home. They cleaned out also another lady's car that she rode with. That's all I ever heard of that. Cleaned out her car. They went to the initial lady's house and surveyed her house, found radioactive material in her home. In her home, on her drapes, on her carpet, on her pillow, and on her toilet stool. This radioactive spill was already 10 years old in the plant. People walked around in this stuff for 10 years. People worked in this stuff for 10 years before they even reported it in that plant. This woman was a janitor, a laborer. The labor force was the largest group of employees that we had. They clean up stuff. They sweep the floors. They do all that stuff. They're all over that plant. They have a crib that they assemble in. So I guess this lady, these two ladies, were the only ones out of a crew of 400 people that all used the same room, used probably the same restroom in that area. I guess she was the only one that ever took this stuff home. I don't think so. Did they go any further with that? I don't think so. I know they didn't. This woman filed a claim. I worked with this lady for over 3 years. She had cancer. She had her half of her lung removed. She had a lot of problems. A lot of problems. And they denied her claim. Denied her claim. They say that we're making up these illnesses. How can you make up a diagnosis? The doctor does that. These people have diagnoses. We take the diagnosis through the claims process, and they deny the people because they can't relate the diagnosis with the chemicals and the elements that they work with. Okay, so I got a janitor. I have a laborer. I have those people that clean up after everybody and anybody and every department in that plant. They worked around everything. And you're going to tell me that you're going to single them out and say that, well, this they didn't work around this element. And we're going to sit and listen to that. These people worked everywhere. They're janitors. They're the ones to clean up everything. You can't turn these people down, but they did. They do. And they did. And when you look into it, you will find that some are accepted, some aren't. I don't know. I'm not a scientist. But it's something going on there. It's something that's happening. And I'm going to relate that in just a minute to what's, when I say something's happening. There's a plan. It was a plan that we was assuming after so many years that these people, they want to discourage you from filing your claim. They want to deny you until you die. They want your family to pick up something that, what? What did I say earlier? They don't even know. You did not tell them. You could not tell them what you were going through. You could not tell them anything about that plan. And now the impossible job is for the family to prove that this person was exposed to this element. Oh, there's something going on here. The government, after all these years, the very same allegations that this little stupid little boy from 27th Indiana had told him about, had told them about years ago. Now we have some credibility coming. A lawyer in Washington, D.C., that worked for the Labor Department, is almost saying things verbatim to what I was saying 17 years ago. And they did not believe me. Now we have a Senate investigation and a House investigation, real full-blown investigations after all these years. Now, how many people have died and suffered in that time when Kansas City and the nuclear weapons industry knew and know now? You got two of these two investigations going on at the same time. So you know there's some truth in it, that they had set out to deny, delay these people in getting these claims approved. They got tactics that they were using that they had been told about years ago, that this is what was going to happen. This is what people were not going to be notified. We got subcontractors all over Kansas City that worked in materials in that plant that have not been notified even today. R&D manufacturing, Phelps Tool and Die, NewTek, places all over Kansas City that did contract work for us. We had employees come in there, temporary employees, that the union said, we never had any temporary employees at Bendix. Yes, you did. We even had an office set up down in the building when you first come in for those people to go and get their badges, their little red badges, so that they could work. And we had them set up by temp companies. Why all the lies? Why all the cover-up? Because it's big, it's heavy, and it's hard to handle that people could be so irresponsible. These are cold warriors. This is the nuclear weapons buildup. This was a war. In war, war has one thing in common. Vietnam, Korea, Civil War, World War I, World War II. All of them have one thing in common. What is it? To kill. To kill. What is the body count in the nuclear weapons buildup? What's the body count in the Cold War? And who is it? This man just sit back here, and a thought that he said has been in my head, and people used to call me nutty, crazy, and everything, and I don't care. He said, maybe we ought to let these people, Korea, Iran, and all these people, bring them here. Let them see. Let's show them what this was all about, what the nuclear buildup was all about. Let's really give them the innards of this thing. And maybe they'll think differently. And the Cold War body count is you, your nephew, your grandpa, it's you. No, it's not some Japanese. No, it's not some Iranian. It's the people that make this stuff. In order to get this powerful, when you're dealing with the elements that we dealt with, like I said, we're not making Chevrolets. Those metals and those chemicals that go into doing what we do are dangerous. He's seen the list. 179 single space, 179 pages of chemicals. Think about this. When we first started this program, the EEOICPA, there's a thing called the SEMS, S-E-M, Site Exposure Matrix. And what that site exposure matrix is what tells you the chemicals and the elements that are in that plant. Okay? 2000, the act comes out. Here's the list on the Sims of the chemicals that you relate your illness to. Okay? I'm going to be nice about it. Let's say 600. Okay, Honeywell, Bendix, go tell your people, the actor started. Here's the elements that you mess with and all this good stuff. All right, now people, go do your claim. Okay, 600. Benzene, toluene, trichloethylene, all kind of good stuff. 600 of them. Okay. Over the years of the site exposure matrix, okay, Copeland files a claim. Okay, I see formaldehyde on there. I'm sick. Got some things going on. Okay, so they deny my claim. Why they deny my claim? They come up with some type of crazy answer. They say, Maurice Copeland, you're a supervisor. You aren't exposed to these elements like the people that work for you. The people that work for you, yes, if they file a claim and they got an illness relating to that formaldehyde, we're gonna work with it. We're gonna work with it. Not saying we're gonna accept it, but we're gonna work with it. But you denied. Your supervisor. Okay. Scientific. These are the brightest people on the planet. We have people that are, I mean, this is the nuclear weapons industry. You know, this is Oppenheimer that come out of here. This is Einstein that come out of here. So they make a determination. Copeland? Sorry. Well, why didn't they go back maybe a couple of sentences there and see that those people that work for me, the ones that they would consider being exposed to this stuff, I was one of them for 19 years. Something is wrong, y'all. And that's the way the people are being denied. And it is totally wrong. When I came back from Vietnam, years later, after being apprised of the Agent Orange benefits and all, I went to VA. And I said, okay. I wasn't claiming Agent Orange. I just said something is wrong. I went to them. I actually went to them in 1968. But they told me in 1968, there's nothing wrong with you. Don't come back. That's exactly what they said. I'm not going back to a doctor that tells me not to come back to him. I'm not going to do that. I may be different, but if a doctor tells me don't come back, I'm not going to put myself in his hands. No. Well, Honeywell, Bendix, Allied Signal, ingrained in the people that whatever was wrong with you, it wasn't their fault because they never brought it up. They never brought it up. If a person went to medical, we had a full-service medical. We got some Bendix employees out here? Yeah. Lady here. We had a full-service medical in that plant 24/7. If a person came to the medical, I'm pretty sure that I got stitched up in there one time. I got cut up, and I'm pretty sure that they stitched me up. They did a good job. And we had Lakeside Hospital right down the street, no matter what, you know. I mean, if you're going to die, you're going to die on the way to Lakeside. You're not going to die in the plant. They don't let you do that. They don't let you do that. And I'm sure some of y'all are familiar with that. You know, you do not die on company property. It ain't going to happen. They have a full-service medical down there. A person comes to medical, comes to the nurse, saying, oh, some reason I lost my breath up there. You know, I lost my breath. I was running a machine. I was doing my welding, my soldering, or whatever it was. And you know, I had this, I don't know, I'm getting a headache. Maybe it's my blood pressure. I don't know. So they check him out. Well, yeah, your blood pressure's kind of high. You ought to go see your doctor. No, I shouldn't. I ought to go see your doctor. That's who I ought to go see. Your doctor. What we work with causes these problems. No, what you eat, that pork and that ham, all that ham, maybe you ought to cut back on that. They never related any problem that you took to them in medical while I was there, 32 years. They never related anything, any episodes that I had with anything that was around me, the benzene, the toluene, the trichoethylene, all of this stuff, the beryllium. No, they never related it. The trichoethylene, all of this stuff, the beryllium. No, they never related it. Why? Wait a minute. These are the best and brightest. These are the scientists. You know, they always say that the cream rises to the top, right? Yeah? It does. You know, the best football player is going to play. Einstein, Oppenheimer, cream. Well, you know what? Not only does the cream rise to the top, but so does the scum. Okay? And that's the way this thing was situated. And we had to do it because of the Cold War effort. We have to be the number one. And we are going to be the number one. Ain't nobody else going to surpass us now. Give this stuff to everybody else. Give it to everybody else and show them all of these cancers, cancer clusters that we can prove any day of the week. All they have to do out the Honeywell, all I ever asked them to do, and this is within the first few years, open up your disability retirements from the history of this plant. And they won't do it. When you see, and this is going to be a disease, if somebody could blow me out of the water, I don't care. We had a problem out to Honeywell that after this stuff started coming, it baffled my mind. And it's called MS, multiple sclerosis. So many people was leaving that plant. Young people was leaving that plant with multiple sclerosis. I never even related it to this before the program came out. But once that program hit, I said, why don't they know that multiple sclerosis comes from environmental issues? It could come from chemicals, stuff that people were exposed to. It has something to do with the neurological system. And all these chemicals, look them up. 179 pages. Well, chemicals do mess around with the neurological system, don't they? Come on, medicine. Let's get real. I don't know. I'm just thinking that. I hope that I never find out that I was true about this MS. But we have so many cancer clusters at Honeywell, and they can explain it. The cat's a dog. They can explain it any way that they want to. The people that work in waste management, that handle all the chemicals and stuff. Six of them die within 3 years of each other, all with the same disease, with the same cancers. 10 years later, nothing's been said. 10 years goes, the same thing happens. Look back 10 years, nothing's been said. Look at this 10 years, nothing's been said. There we go again. This is neglectful, it's willful, and they knew it. These people out there at that plant knew exactly what was going on, but it didn't matter. I've been to Washington, D.C. many times. I got my glasses off, so I can't see if Ann Sollentrop is here. These people have told me this. And one thing about beautiful about being a black man and in management, especially when you're one of the only ones, when you go to these meetings, you become invisible. You become invisible and you hear things that normally people wouldn't say if they knew you were there. I would go to Washington, D.C., sit in some of these lobbying meetings or whatever you want to call them, to talk to the legislators or whoever the gopher is. And you people in the United States of America are an acceptable risk in any type of thing that deals with the national security. You mean nothing. Whatever happens to you, it's acceptable because it's for national security. We have to handle this. What we need to do, these two investigations that are going on in the Senate and the House, y'all have been so helpful all these years, this church and the association of this church. And I'm going to get, like I said, I'm going to get kind of nasty now. Call Claire McCaskill. She got a phone call 2 days ago that implored her to make sure that she not only pays attention to what's going on with the Bannister Federal Complex, but get involved. They retraced her history of articles that she had in the paper that says an investigation ought to be going on. Well, the investigation is going on now, Claire. The people here need to be in that investigation. Kansas City, they need that investigation, and they need these presidential advisory boards on chemicals and toxic substances, and the special exposure cohort says that anyone that has one of 22 cancers, you don't have to prove nothing. The assumption is there that we did it. That's what we need. We need some communication with these lawmakers that haven't done a thing. Cleaver hasn't done a thing. And we need to put their feet to the fire and hold them accountable to do their jobs. Have you read some of these oaths that these people take? Have you read some of these commissions and boards that they own for their responsibilities? They're not doing it.
We're going to take questions for about 15, 20 minutes.
That was very well done. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You mentioned early on beryllium, and I believe that's a known carcinogen, and I think it's lung cancer, if I recall correctly. Was the beryllium like worked on in machines? I mean, the material, it's a metal, I believe. So there was the opportunity for it to be put into the air, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So it's pretty obvious if it was 100% beryllium that there was beryllium particles in the air.
Mm. Yeah.
And George can correct me, but I believe that if you breathe in beryllium particles, you have a very high risk of cancer. Is that right?
Yeah.
So I can really understand why you're frustrated.
Yeah. Okay. I love it when a person that has the credentials and authority would let the people know just how important, how dangerous that this beryllium is. If you read the regulations on beryllium in the nuclear weapons industry and the handling of the beryllium, first of all, now these are things that you're my employee. I'm going to keep you safe. I'm your supervisor. If you read the handling of beryllium, it says, do not wear the same clothes home that you work with beryllium in. Anyone that worked at Honeywell while I was there, at Vendix while I was there, 32 years, if you ever come out in public and say that you changed clothes after running beryllium operations, you're not telling the truth. If you ever say that you did not handle beryllium with your bare hands, you're not telling the truth. The regulations and engineering controls on beryllium are very strict, and they were never really enforced. Not only were they not enforced, nobody knew that you wasn't supposed to handle beryllium with your bare hands. We ground beryllium, made dust, grinding machines made dust with beryllium all over the place. We had fans, and I'm going to make it short, but I just want to get this in your head. We had fans. Honeywell, Bendix, that big multi-million dollar corporation out there, you people might not understand, that place was not air conditioned, y'all. That place, for years, we didn't have a good airflow in that place. We used to have to take salt tablets in there. It was so hot. And we had fans blowing all over the place, every which way. He had a fan over here. I had a fan over there. Somebody had a fan behind me. So we have a tornado of stuff going on all over that plant. And we were grinding it. Yes, we were sweeping it. We had air holes that we were blowing it. That's the way we cleaned up the floor. That's the way we piled stuff up. That's the way we did it. No. No, no, no. Very dangerous metal. Am I right? Okay. Sir?
just to add a little bit to the beryllium piece. I was involved in writing the DOE beryllium regulations, and we didn't get around to that till 1994. And I know a little bit about why that's the case. It took a long time to figure out that beryllium is a particularly nasty substance because some people are genetically predisposed to borreliosis, and other people who breathe in 10 or 20 or 100 times as much don't contract the disease. And it was hard and remains hard. We had secretaries getting exposed to small amounts of beryllium who ended up with borreliosis. And the only reason I mention that is I would like to ask this question. And I was thick in that whole claims business, and I have a lot of empathy for workers. But you mentioned several times you weren't making Chevrolets. I think part of the difficulty with the American public is if you were to ask the question, you know, how many deaths or how many life-threatening injuries resulted from Chevrolets over the period of time you were working at that plant versus the exposure to the chemicals, then the issue of who's responsible and how do we compensate gets a whole lot more complicated. And so I just think that when it comes right down to it, we in the public need to call our legislatures and make sure that we're doing better. But I think we also have to look at the full range of 350.org and a bunch of other claims. So I'm interested in terms of how you see other claims for hazardous exposures that weren't fully exposed or understood, either one, compared to the ones that you're concerned about.
Oh, hey, you know what Honeywell told me, and this is when I first started this, y'all, and this I hadn't even quit yet. You know, I quit and I retired in February of 2000. We just instituted the program. We just started the program. I had to get out of there. They told me, because they knew what was coming, I don't mind confronting people. When I went into the service, I was a 17-year-old, just turned 17-year-old, inquisitive child. And I'm that same inquisitive child. I want to know. I got a question, why? Sir, I'm concerned with a lot of things. And when I say we don't make Chevrolets, I want you to understand this. I've been concerned about Chevrolet. A few years ago, they had a cleanup at the plant over in Kansas. And people, listen, they had the very same cleanup at the Lee's plant. This is just a few years ago. What elements were they cleaning up? They listed about six elements. One of the elements that they had at that plant over there in Kansas and at the Lee's plant that had been closed for what, 40, 50 years? Was beryllium. they know that they have a national act with OSHA and with the EEOI, with NIOSH, National Institution of Health, that covers anyone that worked around that stuff. Have they told y'all about it? Have they told you that they had that cleanup out there? What was the car industry, which, hey, beryllium, maybe in my glasses, it may be in your glasses, it may be somewhere, you know, they it's a good metal and everything, and so they use it. It's technology, you know. But don't rub them so hard and don't make any, oh, please, you know. So, yeah, I'm concerned with all occupational illnesses. People don't know that occupational illness. Think about yourself. Think about yourself when you overcome sitting at your desk. And this stuff has latency periods of 40 years. You can be suffering with it, and all of a sudden, they say, well, who worries about, he was 79 when he died. Well, that's pretty good life. Now, maybe it wasn't such a good life. It didn't say that he had a good quality of life. They said that he lived a long time.
The new plant out there on 135th is doing the same thing, is it? It's building stuff for the bombs.
If you got away with it, you're going to keep doing it. That's the way I think. And especially if you deny. Don't deny. How can you deny something and you already admitted that you did it and that you're doing it? That's the thinking that I have a hard time with. They have admitted everything. Like I said, if you read the act, Bill Clinton couldn't have said it any better. We did this to these people, and we're going to take care of them. After the system sets up, deny, 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 die, die, and then children. Now you read it a little bit better than your parents read it, and you say, oh. And the government says, yes, come. He's gone. She's gone, but you can file the claim. We made provisions for that. Now tell us what he did. Tell us what he was exposed to. You can't do it. National security. It's designed that way. That is exactly what the attorney's saying. That is exactly the investigation that's going on in Washington, D.C. by the House and the Senate. These people have bellied up. And they put it in the government's hands to give justice to the people and the claimants. I don't even trust them. I can't trust them because our representative right here in Kansas City, Missouri, has never even said a word about the Bannister complex or what went on out there. Not only that, now I'm going to get ugly, not only that, that person, Emmanuel Cleaver, worked at Honeywell. He worked at that plant. He knows everything that's been said, everything that's been going on is true. He was not trained on how to handle himself out there. And if he was, I would love for him to stand up and say it and let y'all hear him say it. Not only that, his biggest donor is who? Honeywell for his campaign. Not only that, yeah, I'm talking. This is going to be aired. Not only that, his campaign manager worked at Honeywell. Not only that, his campaign manager had millions of dollars worth of contracts because he owned a company to house the excess furniture and excess equipment from the Bannister Federal Complex, the whole complex, for years. He may still have that contract. I don't know. And if I'm slandering someone, I haven't said a name, but I will. But if I'm slandering someone, come get me. I'm saying it. I'm saying it in front of the people. Aretas, why hasn't he taken up for his constituents? And Claire McCaskill, Roy Blunt, and Mr. Bond have all historically asked for an investigation. Now, 17 years later, the investigation comes down. Thank you very much. What are they saying now? What are they saying? The union at the Bannister Federal Complex, the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, the ones that are charged to represent those people, the ones that if you read that constitution of the union, if you read their book, they said that they would protect the people. They took oaths to do this. No one has ever asked them, what do they have to say about the goings-on at the Bannister Complex? When the employees asked them, and this is mind-boggling, when the employees asked them, they say, well, the International says we can't get involved. Well, let me tell you something. You got people that have tied to you. We tied to the union better than we tied to the church. The union gets it first, or else you don't work. And I paid you to represent me, and for 17 years, you've said nothing. Not one mumbling word about what we did at that plant. The illnesses that are in your books, union, you know the disability retirements from this place. You know the illnesses that the people have from this place. You know the cancer clusters from this place.
Next week at the forum, we'll have a report on the Westport Senior High School project, PlexPod. And I don't know much about it myself, but that's where I went to high school. Thank you for coming. Well, one thing, we have a memorial. This is your gift for speaking at our forum. The new coffee cup for speaking at the Unitarian Forum. So thank you for speaking for it. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was incredibly well done.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening. I hope you've enjoyed tonight's presentation, Bannister Federal Complex, Non-Nuclear, Really? With Maurice Copeland. This program was recorded on Sunday, October 1st at All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church in Kansas City. All Souls Forum is edited and produced for broadcast by Christina Frazier. Our theme song was composed, performed, and recorded by musician Fred Potter. Remember, you can also find archived All Souls podcasts and many other interesting and enlightening public affairs programs produced by KKFI on the KKFI website. Thanks for joining us this evening, and we hope you tune in next week, same time, same place, when we will continue the conversation here at 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio station.